I don't know what happened. It was clearing up and now it's raspy again. Oh well. It's not going to shut me up. I just have to be careful what I'm hollering. I think it was yesterday. I was getting a little excited about something and Angela's like, don't destroy your voice. I said, all right. Oh, praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to pray for, obviously today is War on the Floor. So if you have a prayer request, make sure that our usher Tim gets them. And we will be praying at the end of the service today. But we're going to pray right now. We have, you know, I know there's a few people out that are sick. So the creeping crud has gone around. And there's a few other people I know. I told Angela, I can't remember if they're from the church or if they're just friends on Facebook. But they've been sharing the joys of holiday illnesses. And so, you know, it's no fun when you're trying to have fun. And so, all right, well, we're going to bless the tithe and offering this morning, and then we're going to pray for our friends and family here. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. First off, Father, we are thankful for your grace and mercy in our lives. But Father, we are also grateful that you have taken the stripes, the beating. You've paid the payment for our healing. And right now, Father God, we pray for all those who are ill today. Lord, I pray that you touch their bodies, drive this sickness out of their bodies. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that they are being healed, they are being touched, and they are whole right now in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. We present it as holy. Father, may it be received as holy. Now, Father, we bless it. We thank you for it, Lord God, and I claim all of your mercies and your promises in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. One. And also, we will be, if you're going to be out Friday night, need something to do, we got a float in the parade. So we will be participating. Bless God. And this year it's called it was actually Then and Now in reference to the Victory Shaft celebration this year. At first we thought it was an old-fashioned Christmas, so I've left that to Joshua. He is our float coordinator dude. We don't have an official title yet, but he just put a new deck on the... We have our own float now, so we don't have to keep borrowing people's hay wagons. And so we got one. They put a new deck on it and everything so we can do with it what we want to do with it. And we don't have any time to have to get it back to somebody else. So, but praise God. But we're going to do a real simple. I guess we don't have that. I guess the picture in the back is about as simple as it gets. And that's what our float's going to be this year. Very simple nativity. Mary, Joseph, and a baby. So you don't get any more Then and Now. That is then and that is now. Amen. We've obviously still in 1 Corinthians 13. The other day, the Lord showed me something as I was sitting down and studying. And I was like, how did I? I've always read it. And depending on the translation you read, they kind of change it a little bit. But the New King James and the King James Version read it in a specific way. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Now, does anybody have a Bible right now or have read that where it says love is patient, love is kind? That is not what it says. It says love is patient and is kind. It doesn't create a whole nother sentence. So in other words, it's describing the patience. Patience is kind. We can be patient and bite our tongue and be bitter and venomous all day long. But you can't be kind into patience. How many times have you been stressed and I'm gonna bless God. I'm gonna get through this. Oh Lord, thank you that my patience has grown. Your patience didn't grow at all. That is not patience. Just putting up and tolerating stuff is not patience. Get back to my notes. Because during, we'll call those patience building times. Y'all get them. And as I'm hoping you're getting what we're going through in all this, when your patience is being built, your love for people is being built. Okay? If you cannot have love for people, you cannot have love for God. So don't tell me how holy and how righteous and all this garbage you are. If you don't have patience with people, you don't have squat. But we tend to be pert with people when we're a little bit put off and we're trying to be patient with them, right? You don't have to all shout amen yet. But when we're dealing with somebody that's rubbing us the wrong way, and it just keeps going, and am I the only one that happens to? Am I in good company? Okay. Somebody just keeps, it just keeps grating on you and grating on you, and you just keep biting your tongue or gritting your teeth. My teeth are actually flat. They keep saying, "Oh, you're a grinder." I said, "No, I'm a clincher." That's what the dentist told me. He said, "You're a clincher. You clench your teeth." I said, "I know. I have my teeth flattened. I'm not a grinder. Everything's there. It's just flat from where I've squeezed so hard on my teeth." And I always thought, well, that, you know, I'll get through this, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, that's right. Is there anybody in here in customer service? A couple people, yeah. Those are usually the worst ones. And I'm saying that not in a bad way, because you're inundated it all day long. So that's why when the person comes up and, "Well, all I asked was for them to do this." By the way, this is how I perceive the church in a lot of places, because it's usually the church members who are the biggest violators of treating people badly. "Well, they're supposed to be there to serve me." They're just there to take your money. That's all that they're supposed to do in that regard. But your actions brought out the other. But anyhow, so you're standing there, you know, okay. We don't want to do things good for people. Not necessarily violent, even though I'm sure a few violent scenes have maybe transpired in your mind. But neither extending kindness or love in action. We pull away from the very source that can fill us with God's love. When you're in that situation and that person is just grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding on you, you need to press in more to them. You need to show them more and more patience and more love. Because that means if you're expending love, listen, folks, if you're expending love, God, the mercies of God flow. God's love flows from us, right? It's supposed to flow. If it doesn't flow, what's a problem? It's dammed up. It's blocked. Anybody know why they call the Dead Sea the Dead Sea? Because it's got all these rivers that flow into it, but it doesn't flow out. It gets all the garbage from the Jordan and all these other rivers around, but it does not, it has nowhere to get rid. So it kills life. There's no fish in it, no plant life. They cannot live with all the garbage it's bringing in. And that's what happens when we come to church. God's mercy has been flowing into us, trying to help us out through our week. But yet we never extend God's mercy out towards other people and his love towards other people. And we don't get rid of the things. So if you're having problems with extending mercy and God's love towards people, Just remember, it's because you're not doing it. It's a thing. You have to do it. Nike didn't come up with it. God did. Just do it. During times of interaction with people or patience building, when we want to withdraw because we no longer feel like we can keep up a pretense with them. Isn't that what we're really doing, folks? Have a nice day, sir. It's a pretense. You don't mean that. In your heart, you're thinking, I hope you go out and the sign falls on you. Right? Maybe you go out and you bust your butt on the concrete. I don't know. I don't care. Right now, just get out of my face. I was in a store one time, and this couple, they seemed to be kind of flipping about everything, and I was right behind them, and they were trying to get their stuff and get out, and they weren't saying a whole lot. They just got out of Dodge. And on the way out, I noticed something about them, but it didn't give the cashier. The woman had walked off without her bag. She had several bags, and she forgot one. And all she did was complain about them. Well, they were just so rude, and they were just this, and they were that, and da 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 da. And I kept hollering, ma'am, your bag. That's when I realized. By the time they got to the door, they were deaf. But not that cashier did not do anything to really get them their stuff. She didn't holler over to the service desk and say, hey, get them. They left a bag. She stood there with me, another customer, and complained about them. And as she was complaining, I said, you do know they're deaf, right? Which, by the way, I turned them in. I got to fill out a survey. I didn't name names, but I said, you might want to have somehow to deal with people. And I only did that after I bought a tree stand, and the cashier said, well, I don't want to hear you're out there shooting people out of this. I'm like, how dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen, woman? I put that down there, too. Then I turned around and took the stand to the other end of the store and returned it and went somewhere else and bought one. Y'all know, now, just so my mother-in-law knows, this is not a slam against her. Does anybody know who Karen is? Who's Karen? She's that woman. This cashier's real name was Karen. For those of you that don't know, if you ever hear somebody, well, Karen did this, Karen is the woman who thinks she's entitled to everything. That's the name that's been given to her. Sorry, mother-in-law. But that is the name given to somebody who acts like that in public, or a boss who thinks that you owe them because they're you're their superior. Superiors are actually there to serve those underneath, to make sure their lives are going right so that the jobs are getting done. It's supposed to be. We actually need to continue to press in into God. When we press into that situation and we can, let me tell you something, folks, it's a choice. It's a choice in your heart to do this. It's just like a light bulb, a light switch being flipped on and off. You can flip it on and you can realize and you can let that change take over and it affects everything. You start dealing with it in grace. That's what the word used to denote was grace. Graceful. We think that somebody dances across the floor. Oh, they're so graceful. Grace used to be your manner, how you handled people. We do things when we do this, when we press in. We don't do it in a smug way. Say, well, look at me. I dealt with that situation. Did you see how nice I dealt with that situation, Miss Brenda? Did you see that? Did you see how good I did? We're not to do anything in that sense. We're supposed to do it in all humility. Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 3 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before God to be seen by them. Before men, or to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets." By the way, I want to point out, he pointed the church out. Synagogues are churches. Like we do in the church. I think we had the OCC in there 1 year in the paper. 1 year. And I'm good with it. But how many times, folks, did you open the paper and you see somebody advertising their good deed? We did this. 2 years? Okay, yeah. And it's fine. Like I said, we're trying to get the word out on those. We're not saying, look at us. I don't want every time we do something good, well, at his feet, they donated this. At his feet did this. At his feet did that. Look at his feet. No, I don't want that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the people that it affects knows who did it. I'm going to just tell you all this. I heard through reputable source the other day that there's a ministry in this community that we help serve. And this is not a church ministry. Okay? But this ministry pointed out that in this county, we are their biggest giver. We're not advertising that, folks. We're not going to get up a big old cardboard check and say, look at us. Everybody in here is family. You're all members. This is you. Look at us. Look at what we did. It'll put this on the front page so everybody knows what we're doing. This is what it's talking about. We're dealing with and how we're dealing with people. Well, look at what we're doing. By the way, anytime anybody puts their picture and makes sure they got a big check, look for the other hand. Woo, look over here, look over here, look over here. They want something from you. Be careful. But the Bible's telling us when we're dealing with people, don't go, yeah. Boy, I handled Karen like a pro, man. Y'all should have seen it. Did you do it in love? I put her in her place. That's not maybe your position. Unfortunately, mine is. And I don't like doing it. And I will continue to give people grace and grace and grace and grace until there comes a point where I have to say, knock it off. Because trust me, a slap on the hand down here sure beats what God's got. Keep it up, you'll be in eternity without him. That's the choice. And in the streets, that they may have glory from men, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. That's it. All these people doing good and making sure that they see it, that's it. There is no other. Next verse. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't broadcast it. By the way, he's talking about a body. You and I both know that your left hand, because of the brain, knows what the right hand's doing. He's talking about the body of Christ. We don't need to be telling each other what we're doing. What do? We create sibling rivalry. It's exactly what we do. Well, my church is going to outdo you. Well, my church is going to outdo you. No. How about we do our best? Period. And by the way, let me help people out with excellence. That's such a cockamamie word in my book. They've got such excellence. Excellence is merely doing the best you can. That's all there is to it. Well, I think that there should be more excellence. I think projects should be finished. I think this. Well, how about you putting out the money for it? I just had a woman in here the other day, a pastor's wife, who was talking to me, and she said they were having just some walls built and a couple sprinkler heads moved. Okay, first off, sprinkler heads are expensive. I mean, it's like $10,000 a sprinkler head to have them moved. But they were just going to have a few walls built in this thing for their church. The bill was $200,000, folks, and they don't own the building. They're foregoing moving the sprinkler heads and going to build around. That saved them some money, but you need to understand, it costs money. So if anybody, if this is in your heart, well, I don't know why pastor's not getting, having all this stuff done. It costs a lot of money to do this. It's not that we're not excellent. We're doing the very best we can. That's all there is to it. Well, I think the parking lot should be paved. Well, you write the $75,000 check to do it, and we'll do it. We will designate that to the parking lot fund. Because I'd love to have it paved. Paint some lines on there so people know how to park. Did I just say that out loud? You know what I've learned about lines? It don't help. Nope, they don't help. I walked into Menards last night. There's a guy with a big old jacked up dually, four-wheel drive dually, straddling the lines. Well, ain't nobody going to block his truck in. He can run over them. He probably couldn't see the lines on his truck. But when we do good deeds, we're not supposed to be going out advertising to everybody. We have got to make sure that we're doing what God told us right then, right now. Not, well, you know, I should have done this. Oh, you should have done it then. Now, make a mental note, do it the next time, right? You do it the very next time. Are you going to lose your temper? Are you going to let, is it going to get you just a little bit? Probably. If not, then praise God, you have overcome in that area. Move on to the next one. We're not done. You do realize we're still in the first verse or first sentence of that verse. Patience is kind. Patience is not just gritting your teeth and grinning and bearing it. Patience is kindness in action. And there's some people that have a natural tendency to that. But I promise you, I am not them. I honestly, yesterday, I had to go off by myself and pray in the spirit for a while because I was irate. And I knew that if I didn't walk away, somebody was getting punched. I don't care about the back. I don't care about anything. I was furious. I was almost vibrating inside. I was like, whoa, Lord, where's this coming from? This is not good. Not good at all. Let me walk away and just pray. And I'm glad I did. Didn't make me look like a jackass, which I'd have done it. I would have been the one doing it. God didn't do it to me, myself. But I was furious. I was letting my anger get hold of me. And I say that as we carry on. But charitable means merciful compassion. It's the expression of mercy and charity. Charity is the King James Version word for love. So when you're doing charity, you're extending love. It is a result of being merciful. Of being merciful. It's an attribute. And it is the outward expression. I wish I had wrote down the English word for this Greek word. Of compassionate. It's active compassion or mercifulness. Compassionate means benevolent, merciful, involving thought and action. In other words, you have to think about it for a minute. How can I bless this person? When Jesus said to pray for your enemies and love them, do good to them, what do you do? What's happening to them? Anybody remember anything about coal? It drives them nuts. But the problem is, if you're doing it out of spite and vengeance, wrong-o, you have got to understand, you've got to do it in love and humility, not, well, I'm just going to extend so much love to Maggie right now that God's just going to heap these coals of fire on her head, and it's going to drive her insane. So how are you any better than Joe Schmo on the road? You're not. We have got to make sure that when we're doing things, it's in love. And I told myself, it's so easy to step out of love. But as I've said, God gave me a good wife. She smacked me around a little bit and put me back in my place. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful ones. Y'all remember the Beatitudes? Blessed, happy to be envious, or happy and to be envied, right? Not those necessarily who merely express acts of mercifulness, but those who have this attribute as a result of the indwelling God. Heathens know how to be merciful. Heathens know how to do this stuff. Heathens know how to be humble. Heathens know how to be patient. But they don't know how to do it with God in their lives operating. Because, see, here's the problem. Their patience will end. And then they go ballistic. God doesn't. Love never fails, right? It means it never falls short. Never runs out. Love does not envy. The word envy is zealously affected, good or bad. Zeal. You know, we saw a lot of zealots in Ann Arbor yesterday, right? I know you watched the game. You can say amen or something. How many of you were wearing scarlet and gray? I want to see hands. How many of you were there? You're a zealot. You're zealous. Hooray for our team. Hooray for our side. You rooted them on, right? That's what it means, good or bad. It's the same word. It's really a messed up word because it can be good or bad. It's talking about a compassion, a passion for something. In this instance, though, we're talking, it's in the bad sense, jealousy. The other word they used for it was anger. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. The Bible also tells us later that you can sin, or you cannot sin. To be angry and sin not. Be zealous for something. But don't sin in your zealous and let your anger, as I was feeling yesterday, let it boil up. Why are you angry? Was what God asked him. Why? Why are you angry? Cain was jealous of Abel because he did as God was accepting at that time. If you do good, Cain allowed his unchecked passion go from a good standing to one operating outside of love. He was still operating in love by not dealing with it, by not attacking his brother. He could have turned around. But when he let sin, he let his anger get the best of him. Anybody ever let the anger get the best of you? Anybody got a hole in your wall somewhere? Yeah, you don't have to shout too loud on that one. We've let our passions get the best. Anybody ever cuss anybody out? You don't have to raise your hands. I'll just assume you're all guilty. Well, I never went to their face. Well, you still let it fly in your car. You let that anger out and let it control you. It never ceases to amaze me when people are sitting in bumper to bumper traffic. Why do they honk their horn? Who's the rocket scientist that started this? It doesn't move the traffic any faster. What does it do? It agitates you. It agitates everybody else because you're now releasing some of that pent-up frustration of being stuck because you're in a hurry. Bless God, don't they know you're important? Don't they know that the world cannot spin without you? I must be on time all the time. I'm so sorry for you if you think that you have to be on time every time. I like punctuality. But there are people that take it way too far. When I said 10 o'clock, I meant 10 o'clock. Now, I've never had anybody do that. But if anybody hadn't, I would say, I don't need you. He rose up and killed Abel. And God warned Cain about this, didn't he? He said, if you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. What door? It's the door of your heart, right? Here's, we're talking in Genesis, and we see this. We go to the New Testament, and we see, behold, again, I stand at the door and knock. And its desire is for you. It's lust. It's desire. It's burning desire. But you should rule over it. See, folks, here's something interesting. I've always read, and you know, I'm not going to get into a change of theological debate on this, but we always teach that when Adam and Eve sinned, that all sin was released. Well, then, why wasn't there murders before Cain? Why don't we read? Why don't we have any other record? See, theirs, Adam and Eve fell because they wanted something that wasn't theirs. They didn't, one, it's because they didn't know who they were. They didn't have a good picture of who they were. They let somebody else paint the picture for them. Cain, he saw that God was pleased with his brother. Let me tell you something. God treats his children the same. It's all up to you. What he's done for one, he will do for you. You may not be called to have a plane. But he'll provide you with what you need. So I need you to help so I don't get worried about projects that seem to be unfinished. Not one bit. Because when it's time, they'll be finished. Sin lies at the door like a predator waiting to pounce. But Cain was to rule over it. He was to have dominion. God said, here's the world, have dominion over it. Rule the world. You are to rule sin. Sin is not supposed to rule you. There's a good time to have anger, isn't there? Bible tells us so. Don't think that Jesus went into the temple and cleaned it singing Kumbaya. He didn't go in, Kumbaya, my Lord. Shh, Kumbaya. You need to understand the tables that he was flipping over, they didn't have a lot of wood. With all the wars in that, many times they had to rebuild. There was not a whole lot of trees, so guess what they did have a whole lot of? Rocks. They were stone tables. The houses were built of stone. He went and flipped those things over. Don't think you're going to do that. And be all mild and calm. I've told you before, that is why the military, they don't they ain't playing smooth jazz, getting themselves psyched up. I'll tell you one of the songs I do know that we got jacked up to. Highway to Hell. You build yourself up, and that's what it does. I know, I was talking to somebody one day, and they were talking about people that worked with them, and they were listening, you know, heavy metal. I love heavy metal. And they said, I was listening to this music, and, you know, well, somebody came to me and said, are you playing your angry music today? It's how it affects us. There's days I need that. I need. Yesterday was not one of them. And you let yourself get built up. And then God can work with you. And I mean, I don't know about you, but when I picture we always picture this, and the nation of Israel marching around Jericho those seven times, they were quiet. But then there came a point. They shouted. Folks, they didn't have electric guitars. But what they did have, they played. And it was such a charge. Have you ever really paid attention to the music in war movies? Pay attention to the symphony. The very same instruments that Mozart wrote his music for. Bach, Wagner. The very same instruments played can build the scene up. That's why they use those instruments when you're watching a horror movie. The very same instrument that played Fiddler on the Roof is now opening the door, and you know the villain's behind the door. It builds. Music builds. Music is important in your life. Just let me help you with that right now. I'm going to do the study and find out more about this teaching that went out a few years ago about when God created the earth, he was actually singing it. Makes 100% sense to me, because the Jews sing the word. They don't preach it like we do. They don't get up and flap and spit and holler. They get up and they sing it. When Jesus stood up in the midst of those people, he sang. Could you imagine being in that church service? The Lamb of God, the Word, revealing himself to them. What did it sound like? It would have been a perfect harmony. His voice, his spirit now mingling with those words, going out into their ears. Anger is something we have to control. It took anger, ladies and gentlemen, in the 1700s to finally push people out of their comfort zones. We can tolerate the abuse from King George. We'll pay his taxes. Personally, I'm grateful for their anger. I really am. And one of these days, and I'm not saying we have to go to war over this, this country's going to get tired of the political system that we've built. Now, whether that happens when Jesus returns and he sets up his kingdom, because I'm going to tell you right now, he's the only king I'll sit under. That's all there is to it. My grandfather left Scotland to get off from underneath the king. And then come over here to fight that king. So, anger can be a good thing. It can push you. And I dare say, ladies and gentlemen, that if we were to get real psych, I don't know what the word is, I'm looking, not psyched up. If we were to really get into the word, into the psyche of anger and adrenaline, you'll find that people that have been able to perform things, feats that they weren't able to because of adrenaline, did it more out of anger. It was the same emotion that kicked in and helped somebody pick a car up. I mean, if you're 500 pounds and lift up a car, I'm not too impressed. But if I see Morgan lift up a car, I'm impressed. Huge difference. It would be, but here's the thing. It would be anger operating in love is what does it. You're angry at what's happening to a loved one. Y'all remember the Incredible Hulk, don't you? Remember that was the thing that threw him into his investigate. His wife dies in a car wreck. He can't move the car, but this woman, her kid is pinned under a car and she can pick it up. Let's see if I'm going to go any further here. Oh yeah, I will. James 1, 12 through 17. It said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. Did y'all notice that word, approved? It is the same word. When he is approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved children. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That word, approved, is accepted. Will you not be accepted if you do good? Right there it tells us. He will be approved. He will be accepted. It is the same word. I actually ran that one down. And not in my dictionary. I ran it down in the Hebrew and in the Latin and in the Greek. If Cain had stood his ground against the temptation, he would have ruled sin. You've got to rule it. Your emotions are there. You ain't getting rid of them, just so y'all know. You ain't getting rid of them. God gave them to you for a reason. There's a time to be angry, and there's a time for peace. He would have ultimately been accepted or approved. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible tells us right there that those wages of sin are death. James told us that when a desire for something, you look at something long enough, you will take it. You think about something long enough, you will do it. And when that desire gives birth and you act upon it, it becomes sin. I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you here today. And I hope to God you don't judge me, because you will find yourself in such deep doo-doo. One area that I've seen that God is bringing to light in me is anger. It was something I didn't think was there. I was always cool, chilled out guy. Fun-loving guy. You know, I'm a lover, not a killer. You think on something long enough, you'll do it. Well, I think this church, the pastor's got an anger problem. I'm just the only one that will admit it. And by the way, I don't have a problem. The stupid thing keeps trying to get off the cross. I might just put the next nail in its head. That's why we crucify the flesh daily, but folks. That's the flesh. When we want to act out like that, it's the flesh. That's why we walk away. That's why we seek counsel. Do you know war is made with a council of two or three? You get more advice. You find out, hey, what am I doing? If you're, you know, you can ask Angela, anytime I'm doing something, I will have her come in. I say, is there anything you see? Did I miss something? Especially painting. When you go that second coat, you can miss the spot. And there was a time in life I used tinted primer, which was tinted the same color. And it's hard to find where you missed. And I don't care how good of a painter you think you are, somebody else will come in and find your flaws. Yeah. But you can stare at something so long you don't see it anymore, right? I never saw that. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. But somebody else can come in and say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's your problem. Now, any of you that have coached football know this. Would you ever notice that there's always a group of advisors, coaches, up high? Why do you think that is? They can see exactly what's going on in the field. You know, in war, the generals used to actually go to war. But they didn't go in and fight. They stood up on mountains, up on high points, and they looked down and they sent couriers telling this one, go this way, because they could see the mistake that was made back there by your enemy. These things in our lives, folks, anger, lust, jealousy, lying, deceit, whatever it is, they want the high places in our hearts. That's why they want the high place. So they think they can outsmart God. But we cannot let them. When we stay on the high point, we control them. Everybody's tempted to cheat and lie and steal and be angry, right? If you're not, then you ain't living. You know, we need to check your pulse. Or else you're a hermit. And by the way, God didn't call us to be hermits. He said it's not good for man to be alone. You need people. It is good for man to get away from time to time. But let's focus on that. Now that we know that our patience is supposed to be kind patience, not pert, not sassy, not smart alecky, but kind. And our love is not to be jealous over another person prospering. Do you know how many times I've seen people, well, look at the car they got. They can't afford it. How do you know what they can afford? Well, I know what he does. What does he do? The first house we bought, we went to the mortgage company. I told, anybody know Candy Wendling Armstrong? If you've gotten a mortgage, you probably know her. Well, she was doing our mortgage. She did VAs. I told her how much we made, how much I made, and how much the house was. She looked at that and she looked at me and she says, I don't think you can afford this house. I said, what do you mean? She says, you can't afford this house. And I'm like, well, She said, bring me your tax returns and stuff. I brought her my tax returns. She flipped to the back and she says, how did you make this, making this much per month? Or per hour. And I said, you don't understand. I work 6 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day. That's how I did it. Just because I made 10 bucks an hour didn't mean I was only worth 10 bucks. I worked my butt off. That's how I got that house. Don't let somebody else tell you who you are in Christ. They don't know all the information. And you don't know all the information in somebody else's life. But I know them. How well do you know them? Well, I mean, I sit next to them in church. You don't know squat. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying. That's what happens. We don't know. If you got a prayer request, make sure Tim gets it on the way up. And I want you to know what I told you about what we've given. We, okay? All I'm part of is designating where it goes and making sure things are where they're supposed to be. We did those. You did it. We did it collectively. That's not a point to get prideful over. Because I'll be honest, and Angela has to bring me down every year when OCC time comes around. I'm like, would you look at this? I know how big that church is. And they only gave that many boxes? Crying out loud, we got a secular school in Cardington that gives 100, and they gave that much? They're huge. And she says, honey, this is our calling. Thank you, sir. This is our calling, not theirs. And then smaller churches than us bring in a bunch of boxes. So don't get prideful of anything. Rejoice. Let me tell you a simple way to stay humble. Keep reminding yourself, except by the grace of God, there go I. I can't believe that guy. He's an alcoholic, never spends time with his children, beats his wife. So what's the difference between you and them? The grace of God's operating in your life. What's the difference between me and my grandfather? The grace of God operating in my life. Because the grace of God is what gives me... I gotta say this. The grace of God is what gives us the power to overcome sin. It's not permission to continue to sin. It is the power to continue to conquer it. There's nothing here that says God's grace wasn't in operation in Cain and Abel's lives. Obviously, there was grace. Grace was never just thought up as a New Testament thing. God's grace has always been. He is grace. He is mercy. So therefore, it's always been. That's an appropriate prayer request. Now, I want to, before we start praying, I just want to say one thing about what I said about me realizing that there's still anger issues, things that still need crucified. Don't judge me on them. Pray for me. I believe that it's the only thing it is I'm being purified even more. I didn't have these problems before. And they're not problems. They're things that are starting to dwell up. I'm like, where did that come from? I don't care about that. Pray for me. You know, they always tell you, pray for your pastor seriously. Because the devil, I can promise you, does not want what God's doing here in your hearts to go on any further. If he could take me out, I'm not going to say that this church goes by the wayside, but it's a good chance. That's why Jesus said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter.